Hey folks, it's Jesse, the founder of MaxFun. Since we postponed our annual MaxFun drive in mid-March, we have gotten a lot of questions about if and when we'd be rescheduling it. And honestly, we've been asking ourselves the same thing. Well, now we have an answer for you. The 2020 MaxFun drive will start on July 13th. That's coming up soon. We decided to have the drive now because it's always brought a lot of joy and excitement to our community and certainly to us. And to be totally honest, it's also the main source of income for some of our hosts. Like pretty much everything right now, this year's drive is going to be a little different. We'll still be bringing you very special episodes, fun community activities, premium thank you gifts, but we also know it's a weird time and for some folks a really difficult one. Some people are in a position to become new or upgrading members, others can't right now, and that is okay. We'll have ways for you to support MaxFun at every level, including some ways that won't cost you anything. We're also going to run the drive for 4 weeks instead of two. We didn't think it was a good time to be rushing anybody, and having a longer drive lets us be a little more low-key in our drive pitch. It also gives us more time to do fun stuff, like the weekly live streams we'll be putting on for charity throughout the drive. Most importantly, we want the 2020 MaxFun drive to highlight all the ways we support each other and our communities. We also want to show how grateful we are to you for making all the work that we do possible. Stay safe. We'll see you July 13th for the MaxFun drive.
Hello and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. Hi, how are you? I'm incredible. Thanks so much for asking. Thank you for joining me once again for, you know, this podcast. It's not for everybody, but for the people that it's for, it's the best one out there today, I have to say. My partner in crime, the brains behind the operation, Boy Wonder, boy criminal, Chris Gersbeck, is not here today. He's recovering from a botched cosmetic procedure, so I am captaining this one all by myself, and I'm just sitting here in my little corner of my pandemic bunker, and I'm very excited for our guest today, Mr. Rob Schulte. It's one of those names that I realized as I said it, maybe I'm not nailing it.
Well, you nailed it. 100%. Schulte.
Schulte. Perfect. Do people screw that up?
Sometimes, but sometimes, actually recently it was screwed up and I've been called Schulte, and I kind of like it.
I kind of like that. Let's go with that, Rob Schulte.
Yeah, it seems classy, you know, but it, like, the good kind of classy, not like the weird kind.
It's not an intimidating classy. No. It's one that opens up a world of wonderment. Schulte.
Yes.
Like anything is possible.
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be great?
I was worried that maybe it was like Rob Schulte.
Or
a sort of German Danish thing.
Probably is, but I was never taught that. So who knows?
You just taught Schulte.
Yeah.
But I do love Schulte.
Let's go with that from here on out.
Schulte.
Like anytime, Dave, we're in the same room and someone calls me Schulte, you could be like, I know the real Schulte. Thing here. Yeah.
I would even say you could ditch the Rob part and just go with Schulte. Schulte has arrived.
Well, this is a time of reinvention, and
I'm
really going to try and figure out how I want to move forward, and maybe I will drop the Rob altogether. I'm okay with that.
It's something to think about, and you don't have to rush into it. I realize I have not given you a proper introduction. as you know,
it's understandable.
I'm intimidated to have you on the show because you are perhaps best known as a podcasting producer, and here, you know, I may be the wildest horse in the game. You've produced shows for Vice, Sirius XM, Maximum Fun, which this show is on, of course, and beyond. You've worked with my dear friend and role model, Mike Sachs, and on down the line. And I feel like my lack of professionalism has a spotlight on it now.
Well, I don't know about that because I mean I have really wanted to be on your show, and I think it's the punk rock just aesthetic that you just no holds barred, and you don't always get that when you're trying to like make a show for Sirius XM.
That's true, because they want stuff like, they don't want awkward pauses, they don't want technical difficulties, they don't want they don't want a host who can't stay on one topic for one entire sentence. You know, things like that.
But what they don't know is that's what the audience might want. You know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I have an audience, and I think they want it. And, you know, it's a specific audience. It's a global audience, and I'm here for them. I'm not here for someone posted this to my Instagram, and it's, I always like when just people come from out of the blue and drop wisdom on me. Someone was complaining why I was supposed to do, before this whole pandemic thing started, I was supposed to go do a bunch of dates in the UK and Europe. And someone was trying, people were like, are you going to come to Cardiff in Wales? Of course. I say this not because I think you don't know where Cardiff is, but on the off chance, even one listener doesn't resonate with them where Cardiff is.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah. So I was in nasty mood, and I said, you know, because they were like, oh, we saw you at the Glee Club in Cardiff, which is, I performed at a number of times. And I said, well, you know, the Glee is, they have like three or four clubs, and they've decided they're not in the Dave Hill business anymore. At least at the moment. Well, no one is at the moment. Well, no, people are, but yeah, you see my point. Pandemic. But so I was like, well, tell those fuckers at Glee. And they were like, who cares? Like, don't expand your audience, refine your audience, find the people who want it. Don't try to like, you know, bring out a tray of brownies and try to get everyone to eat one. Just serve it to the brownie lovers.
Yeah. You know, I really respect that, because I've made a handful of shows where you think you have an audience, you think you've got a subject matter that's fun, you start putting out episodes, and then you realize like, oh, maybe it is worth it to these 10 people, and that's who I'm listening to. And I use 10 as just an example from my personal experience. And I get so much more out of understanding that I am making a select group of people happy or bringing joy to them than like stressing about what could be there or who could be listening to it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I'm guilty of the latter, but I do try to focus on the former. It goes back to, for me, like growing up, you know, playing and touring in bands. And you got a show in Ann Arbor, and only two people come, and they're both your friends, and maybe one straggler wandered in. You say, you know, this is one of those nights where you just convert them one heart at a time. Maybe you just got that one straggler on board.
And that makes so much sense. And usually in those situations, you also gain the attention of the bar staff, because if they're not going to be, you know, slinging drinks all night, they're going to be paying attention to what's on stage. And maybe you've now, you know, it's always nice to have a friend behind the bar.
Oh, yeah. It's key. I mean, that's one of the most important things in life.
Yeah. Next time you roll into Ann Arbor, that bartender is going to be like, well, no one was here last time, but Dave kind of kicks ass, so you should probably show up.
Yeah.
You might have four people.
Yeah, and next time it's six, and then next time
they tell two friends.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. I, you know, the listener can't see this, but I can see this. But you, you have a whole new look going. Normally, you have a not shaggy. What's the word? But you know, you have a bit of hair and facial hair as well. And now you're shaved, not shaved.
I pulled out the buck knife, and I was just like, I'm going all over this head. But no, it was getting shaggy crazy, and not my hair doesn't fall as naturally beautiful as yours does.
I would disagree. I mean, I've seen you with some locks, and I think it's gorgeous. Plus, you're a handsome man, if I dare say.
You can, and I accept it, and I'm learning to accept apologies much better every day, or compliments.
Freudian. Ooh.
Yeah, grew up Catholic, crazy. But yeah, we got to the point where we attempted a home haircut that was not a buzz cut, and obviously, we know where that ended up. Everything got buzzed.
Oh, it didn't work out.
I mean, it was kind of expected, but why not play in the playground while you can?
Oh, who tried to cut it? Or was it you? When you say we, you're talking about you in the plural.
No, it was my girlfriend. You know, I could have probably spoke up a little bit more about how maybe we should just go for the buzz cut because, you know, I don't want to hurt feelings.
Sure.
But, you know, for a while there, we tried for a little bit of length on top. It just... You know, a little mismatch. We don't have professional equipment, you know?
No.
Trimmers.
I'm getting to the point. I have a few ideas with my own hair. I thought maybe I'll just grow it for I'll do locks of love.
Yeah.
And grow it, you know, like jam band length. And just really go for it. Because it has to be like 10 inches long or something for locks of love.
Yeah. And like from the ponytail, I think.
Yeah. So that's a lot of hair. And so I'm guessing that I will have the time basically to do it.
Let me ask you this, Dave. Because you're kind of an expert on Canada, at least in my eyes.
Of the two people on this show right now, yes.
You know more than I. Are you familiar with a Canadian picture called The Peanut Butter Solution?
No.
It was a movie from the 80s about a child who, if I'm remembering correctly, was scared so much by ghosts that he lost all of his hair.
Oh my gosh.
And then other nice ghosts provided him with a formula with peanut butter being the key ingredient that if he rubbed it all over his head, he'd grow his hair again. And except that it grew too long, too fast, and he ended up getting kidnapped by criminals who wanted to use his hair for paintbrushes. So I just wanted to put that out there to don't grow it too far because someone might want to use it for paintbrushes.
This is a movie that got made?
Apparently. It is all on YouTube, so I don't think anyone really cares about the rights anymore.
Oh, that's also good to know.
Yeah.
Because I'm I love some found footage. And when stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with that movie, but the rest of my day will be eaten up by it.
It could be a good commentary track for the Patreon.
This is a good idea. Excuse me. Whew.
It's okay.
Oh my goodness.
It's one of those dangerous elements of the show, you know?
Well, yeah, it's, I am, I'm a sickly child prone to allergies and it's allergy season, I think. And also, I just took a shower with a soap just bought at random that I've never used. It may have a new perfume in it that's going to destroy me, basically.
It's a dangerous game, picking soap with a blindfold on. I've been there. I've done it. Ooh, Irish Spring, not for me.
Oh, no, that's a bad one. I'm a real, fan of off brand, just the more kind of like looks like it was cooked up in someone's basement that's the soap for me. Not even so much like artisanal, you know, cutesy soaps with lavender, just like something that looks like this could burn really badly when I use it. I don't know what's going to happen. Those are the soaps I grab because yeah, I'm just like, I'm in, let's go for a ride.
And that makes sense. I mean, it feels like it falls into most of your aesthetic of like living life on the edge.
Totally.
And, but also staying clean.
Staying clean. I like to, it tried to, you know, though even that, do you, how, it's so weird. I was just talking about this with a friend. I feel like this whole pandemic thing has been going on so long now that it has, there's phases, like it will be described into future generations. Like there was the early phase where people are just, you know, sending nude photos of them, just nudes.
Willy-nilly.
That was the first few weeks. Everyone just sending nudes out. Not me personally, but
no.
I can't frame up my nude self. But so the new, there was the nudes, and then there's puzzles. People are playing puzzles. That was another phase. Then there's the baking bread phase.
Yeah, then there's the whipped coffee phase.
Ooh. Is that going on now or is that past already?
No, I think we've just passed whipped coffee phase. And
what is that?
If I remember correctly, it was you take Folgers crystals or some sort of crystallized coffee and you add water and sugar and like and beat it like it were eggs or something and it becomes fluffy.
And you drink it then?
I didn't personally, but apparently I think it's more of like a dessert treat, at least what the pictures made it look out to be. And I could be completely wrong, and I hope that the audience finds me and corrects me, but it does feel to be that there was a level of food phases, like you said.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, I've been getting a lot of like I won't, you know, this is not branded content. I know that you cannot be bought. So,
yeah, for, but there have been, not, yeah, no,
at least not in this particular episode.
No,
but there's a lot of like weight loss commercials that have been coming on.
Oh,
whether that be in podcast form or streaming television form.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wonder if it's a form of like psychological warfare to like get us to try new bread, but also tell us that we have to be watching what we eat while stuck at home.
Yeah, that's true. It's a whole thing. I mean,
we're strong.
But also they're watching our every move.
I'm not sure who that is.
Somehow they just know. They know. The thing is that I've been finding, despite my very liberal views.
Sure.
I think being a middle-aged white guy, some portion of targeted advertisements still think that I want to buy really racist patriotic t-shirts.
Yeah, I sometimes those come up on me when I'm on social media, and I'm just, it makes me comfortable in the fact that there will not be any sort of robot uprising anytime soon, because some of these ads just, like, you have zero clue who you're advertising to right now.
Yeah,
give me a picture of a fun dog outfit. I'm buying it immediately, but not that.
Exactly. Wait, fun dog outfits. Do you have a dog?
We over the pandemic we rescued a dog. We had recently
breaking news. This is exciting.
Yeah, I love talking about my dog. I know Maximum Fun has a specific dog podcast, but last year, unfortunately, our English bulldog Clive Barker passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry. And, I think now this is familiar. I'm sorry.
But it's totally okay because, you know, he was an older dog and we had rescued him late in his life. So we understood what we were getting into. He was lovable, but then, you know, we were like, sometime down the line, we'd like to rescue another dog. And we realized that, like, this is the perfect time. You know, obviously, humans need help and animals need help, because if people aren't going to be able to go there and help out dogs in the shelters, there could be a possible terrible ending. And we went through this place called Muddy Paws, who had what seems to be an English bulldog pity mix. And his name is Elvis. And he is the exact opposite energy-wise from our old English bulldog.
He's got
but it's kind of been a lot of fun.
Have some, is he nearby? Can you hold him up to the camera?
Oh, yeah.
Just for my own. Hey, this isn't fair just for to your the own. Listener.
Elvis.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Sleeping on the couch right now.
Oh, so. Look at him. Oh, yeah. He's a sweet boy. And that looks like a painting of Clive Barker in the background.
Yep, someone painted Clive for us. I go on tour with the Greatest Generation podcast, Adam and Ben. When we were doing our Star Trek podcast, someone had given them pictures of their dogs that they had painted in Star Trek uniforms. And then they were like, oh, Rob, I didn't know you were going to be on tour with the guys. Send me your information and I'll pet your dog or paint your dog the same way.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah, so we put those up in the house.
I love
that. Nice little reminder.
Totally, yeah. Absolutely. Plus, I love artwork where there's a story behind it.
That's
my whole house is, well, in New York. I'm in a pandemic bunker right now, away from my New York place.
Understood.
My whole place in New York is just full of art done by friends and people who have sent me stuff and it's awesome. I love it. Cause every time I look at it, stimulates my brain. I start thinking.
Yeah. It's really great to have something that is actually like aesthetically pleasing to look at, but then generates conversation, thoughts, memories. Mm-hmm. And it's so much easier than like, here's a watercolor painting of a collie, you know, that,
yeah.
What do I do with that?
Yeah, exactly. I think it sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, but that may be on my short list of things that are driving me slowly insane during this is being away from home and being away from, because my whole apartment is decorated in a way that's meant to just kind of please me and inspire. I guess everyone does that, but I do. I feel like I really lean into it because I'm there so much when I'm in New York. I just want to be psyched and like looking at stuff and be inspired by it all the time. And now I'm in this place where nothing really has anything
almost
to
has
do
to
with my
come
life.
Out from inside rather than
yes
brought into you
to create.
Yeah.
So I've been buying
powerful.
I've been buying t-shirts online. And
hey.
That's what gets me excited. I'm like, oh, that's a cool shirt.
I just got a shirt in the mail that I forgot I bought online. I had a couple of Chardonnays a couple months ago.
Oh, and that's the best way to do it.
Yep. And then it's just a big graphic image of the Super Nintendo Mario Kart start screen. So it even says like copyright 1992. And like just a little Mario on his 8 or 24-bit, 16-bit cart.
Oh, nice.
Don't remember when I bought it. I usually don't make purchases like this, but in times of pandemic, it happens.
It happens. I generally employ, or try, I should say, I try to employ a no purchases. I even go no financial transactions of any sort. Like, if I've had anything to drink, like if I am planning on like PayPaling or Venmoing someone some money and mm-hmm. it's getting around happy hour time, I make sure to do it before I've had a sip of anything, just because I think, all it takes is one, hit an extra zero.
Yep. Also, I just tend to be more generous, I think, I've had a little bit. So I could be like, oh, man, I owe Tim $5. Well, here's 15. You know? Like,
yeah,
sorry, I'm
just
late by an hour.
Send him 15.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been trying to not make purchases. Because I'll buy, like, I've bought guitars under the influence, and the mm-hmm. next day I'm like, oh boy,
what was I thinking?
But oh, then no, you this one go, doesn't even come with a whammy bar.
Yeah, that, no, no, it's the ones that have the whammy bar that you buy.
Oh, I
drunk. That's the drunk purchase. That's absolutely the drunk purchase.
Dave, do you remember? And I don't expect you to, because you have had a lot of guests. But back in WFMU days, it was one of my first weeks I moved to New York, and one of the things I found when I packed. Was a DVD on how to shred at guitar, and Mike Sachs was your guest, and Mike was like, come join us at WFMU, and I was just like, hey, Dave, I thought you might want this DVD.
Oh, yeah.
I think we immediately threw it in the garbage on air, but...
I do remember you guys coming on. That's weird that I don't specifically remember, because I feel
well,
like...
Well, I hate to put you on the spot, because that is not what I... ever want to do.
Well, it also seems strange. It must be in my possession, because I can't imagine that I would not, though you're saying we threw it out, so.
I mean, I think that was like the joke that was happening, because why would you need lessons on how to shred?
I do, though. I mean, that's really the sad reality. Is one of the things I'm, in an effort, I've made a list of things that I do every day now, in an effort to get through. And then I want to ask you if you have any regimens in place. But I realize that this is going to go on for way, way longer than I can wrap my head around. And so I made a list of things that I have to do every day. And if I just do those things, I will consider the day a success. And on that list is I practice the guitar for an hour every day. Like without, I mean, I play guitar all the time anyway, but I just make sure I'm actually practicing, like trying to get better. Cause I think it's important in life to have like a physical thing that you do. I mean, I exercise as well, but this is why I'm so super ripped. But
yeah, I was wondering why your sleeves were ripped like that.
Yeah. Cause they can't contain my muscles.
Yeah.
get super ripped. And then, I'm like, and even though like, yeah, I'm like, oh, just be, because some of the like practicing the guitar or something, working out and things like, there's like sort of a quantifiable improvement that you can see over time. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's the sort of things that help me from going crazed, keep me from going fully insane.
100%. I have been... I mean, I think I kind of learned the hard way that I needed to do that, because I used to work from home all the time. And recently I've had to, you know, over the past couple of years, I've had to start going into an office at Sirius XM. And I mean, I could only use this excuse for so long, but a lot of times I would have these meetings with my boss where I would be like, you know, you just got to understand I'm 35 and... I have never worked in an environment like this. So if I need, you know, so whatever, you get that sort of feeling. And then immediately I'm back to working at home.
Yeah.
It was like, I should be used to this. I should be, but it kind of got away from me for a bit. And I did have to start implementing kind of a regimented schedule, like you said. And I, you know, the other thing on top of that is that I did start one of those app-based calorie count, get your health in order, make sure you're eating green foods sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
The day before they told us we had to work from home. So was like, oh, this is going to be great for my lifestyle. You know, I'll pack a lunch. I'll do these sorts of things. But considering it was something I paid for to use, I was like, well, I better like at least do my best to try and like see this thing out. It's one thing I can focus on during the pandemic, but it really taught me that I kind of needed to like you say, you need to slot out an hour a day to practice guitar. Well, it's like, I've got podcasts to edit that are my own that I love to have fun with.
Mm-hmm.
But if it all just starts blending together with my daily work or like my Max Fun shows, which I love doing my Max Fun shows as well, but like that, merged with my indie podcast, merged with like big business podcasts. It's like, I don't want it all to be work. I need to like actually slot in time for like, here's where I work on the stuff that's fun. Here's the, when I walk my dog, you know?
Yeah.
And I've never been that type of guy. And some days I'm not, you know, I'll just break all of those rules because that's not how my brain generally works. But when I really need to focus, it's nice to have just that like to-do list, you know?
Yeah, totally. And so your dog, though, because I'll always bring back the dog.
Oh, please.
That guy, he looks like he needs a lot of exercise.
Yeah, he generally gets about 4 walks a day.
Wow.
But he's also relatively young. He's only 3 years old. And only, I think it was either this week or last week that he had been in our home longer than he had been in foster care. So, even just adjusting to like, this is my family, this is my pack, this is whatever, you know, there's probably still a little bit of like, well, how long am I going to be here? Can I get on the couch? Do they allow that here?
Do you know his story?
What I do know about...
Tell me his name already.
Well, I think we kind of share something in common with our dogs being famous musician names. My dog is named Elvis.
Oh, nice.
But I forget what your dog's name, and I could be thinking of someone else, unfortunately.
I think you're thinking of someone else, though. I mean, my dog's name is Lucy.
Oh, yes, Lucy. That's right. But Lucy's also a great name. So how about we go with, we both have great names
great
for our dogs.
Names. Yes.
Yeah, Elvis, apparently his first home was like akin to a frat house. And had named him Scarface.
Oh, no.
And someone's dad came to the house and was like, you all cannot take care of a dog. I'm taking this and putting it in an adoption home. And so it ended up being at a Muddy Paws Rescue, who are really great. And they gave us all the background. They were like, that little bit of a story. They're like, but we took him in. We made sure he got all of his shots, everything he needed, and then put him into foster care with some people towards the top of the island, north side. And they were great, but they weren't a home that he could, you know, they were at work a lot. And as much as they loved him, like, they knew that they couldn't take care of him forever. So then he ended up coming here a few months later, and it's been, I won't say smooth sailing, but it's been a nice inner tube ride. How about that?
Mm-hmm. I like that. Well, I'm excited to meet him one day.
Soon. Dave.
Soon. Yes. Soon. 2021. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe this year.
Soon enough for us.
Maybe.
How about
that? We'll see. We'll see. We'll figure it out.
I'm Bria Grant, an e-reader who loves spoilers and chocolate.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara, a print book collector who will murder you if you spoil a book for me.
And we're the hosts of Reading Glasses, a podcast designed to help you read better.
Over the past few years, we've figured out why people read.
Self-improvement.
Escapism.
To distract ourselves from the world burning down.
And why they don't.
Not enough time.
Not knowing what to read.
And being overwhelmed by the number on their TBR list.
And we're here to help you with that. We will help you conquer your TBR pile while probably adding a bunch of books to it.
Reading Glasses.
Every week
on MaximumFun.org.
Rocket Ship 1, this is Mission Control. Come in.
This is Rocket Ship 1. Go ahead.
Rocket Ship, what's your status on Max Fun Drive? Shouldn't we have seen it by now?
Sorry about that, Mission Control. Turns out I miscalculated. Current projected ETA for Max Fun Drive is July 13th. But it looks different. It'll be for 4 weeks, so it's longer than expected. But all readings point to low-key.
Oh, that'll be good. But can you verify that there are still special gifts for new and upgrading monthly members?
Verified. Sweet gifts for new and upgrading members, plus amazing new episodes, and even special weekly live streams for charity.
Copy that. Rocket Ship, can you confirm ETA for Max Fun Drive?
90% probability of Max Fun Drive from July 13 to August 7.
Did you say 90%?
There were a couple of decimal places, and I might have carried a zero wrong.
I'm just going to pencil in July 13 to August 7. Mission Control out.
What so with something like Sirius, where you're now working from home, it begs the question, now when this is over, will they say, come back? Or will they say, hey, keep up the good work. You don't have to come in anymore, which is what's happening to, you know, some people.
I think, like, the idea is to have us at least have a place that we can go to and have meetings or... Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain aspects of that office that you have to be there for. My team, not necessarily, but it is nice to have a general meeting spot. But luckily, we're one of those places that's like, we recognize the dangers. We have the ability to not work in the office. It would be ideal to have a team come into an office, but take every precaution necessary. And yeah. Our team has... Since we don't do anything live and it's nothing going to the satellites, it's a lot easier for us to at least create the content that needs to be made and upload it to Apple or whatever. Because we are making podcasts, not radio, on my team.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say, though, there is going into Sirius, as I often say, I do like the environment there, though it's easy for me to say, just popping in every once in a while.
Sitting in a big chair waiting to go into the...
I don't think I've ever been there where I don't run into, like, I see a random celebrity, which I always enjoy. I see a celebrity, someone who's clearly a celebrity, and I have no idea who they are, because you can kind of... when 20 people walk in with one person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know who that is. But clearly they are a person of great importance. See that.
Extreme.
And then I run into 10 people I know. And I don't think I've ever gone there to do a show where I didn't end up on another show that I wasn't planning on being. And I'm always thrilled. Like, you just walk down the hall and you wind up on another show.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. I've seen it happen with my own two eyes. And it's funny that you say that about, like, the celebrities and such, because, you know, when I would have to work there and then, you know, people are rotating in and out. It is, you know, like you say, you go from one show to the next, but I've never felt more distanced from celebrity culture, being that I am the oldest member of my team. So mm-hmm. I'm also like, hey, it's kind of like when this happened, and people were like, I was 4 when that happened. Oh, and yeah. Then I walk up and people are like, so-and-so's here. Are you going to get a picture with them? And I have no idea who that is. But my buddy Dave and my buddy Mike are coming in today. I think I might go say hi to them, you know?
Yeah.
It's eye-opening, I'll put it that way.
Yeah. It is such a weird thing. Oh, the youths. The youths.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess there's more and more. There was a time when if I didn't know, if I would turn on the TV, if people even do that anymore, I would turn on the TV and I would see a musical artist. And they were playing in front of a bunch of people, you know, hundreds, thousands, whatever. If I didn't know who they were, it was because they were a Christian artist.
Yeah, and I remember that, those days.
I knew every artist. I would be like, "Yep, this," and invariably, if I didn't know who they were, I would just listen to the lyrics, and then eventually they'd be like, "We praise your name," or something. You'd be like, "Oh, that, yeah,
it's Striper."
That's why I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
But now it's just now I just don't know anything.
Well, and. I think we've had different music experience, but I've worked in, like, booking venues before, and I've worked
you were a live.
I did a lot of live event stuff back in, you know, middle America. And
where are you from originally? Do I know?
I grew up in the Kansas City area, and I went to the University of Kansas, which is where I did most of. Yeah. Did a lot of stuff at the Bottleneck. And
yeah, legendary venue.
But my experience working as a you know, less than minimum wage worker trying to book bands or trying to do stuff for venues, when it was kind of my job to find like the local talent or the regional talent to help support, you know, when Bad Fish came through or something, or some sort of
Bad
larger
Fish.
That was a Sublime cover band that would always
right.
frequent.
And
that
they probably
area.
Packed him in.
Oh, you know it. They were
just making that money.
Yeah. Let's say a larger touring band was coming through. Or we needed to fill the Wednesday before that. Yeah. And I really got burnt out on music. And that is so sad to say, because I love music. I love the energy it gives me. I love just kicking back and relaxing. But like the feeling of turning that to work, and then also the idea of single culture, where it's like, oh, I got to keep getting the new thing. And what's the new thing? And who's the new artist? And what mm-hmm. song is popular right now? It got so exhausting that it's hard for me to seek out anything new these days when there's so much that I still love and like really respect and want to listen to. So that's kind of what happened to me after, like, I had to get out of the business because I knew I was going to hate music altogether. And being working in podcasting, it's like, well, now my ears are on something else for work. So I mm-hmm. need to like find that balance.
Yeah. You can go back and really enjoy music again.
Yeah.
That's what that happened with me. Like, especially when I was at WFMU, cause it's such a music head place. I don't know why I use the word music head. What's it? Is that what you'd call it? A muso, as they say in the UK?
I would
nerd
go with that.
Or whatever. And so I was like, oh, I gotta stay on it a little better. Even though I only play a handful of songs, people are really doing some deep dives here. I should. And as a result, I did try a little harder to get outside of what I was normally listening to, or... And then as a result, I just ended up always just discovering more and more old stuff that I had missed out on, rather than, because I'd be like, okay, I've really tried to find new things that I like, and I don't like that much of it. So I go back in the other direction, and I'm just like, let me find the one band, you know, the band that just had one good song in 72. Let me find that. Let me find that one time they got it right. So I've become obsessed with that.
Have I ever told you that my stepdad is a Finnish prog rock musician?
No. That's incredible.
But it's the like 60s, 70s prog, you know.
Oh, I'm in. What was his band?
He was the frontman, piano player, and lead songwriter for a band called Wigwam. His name is Jim Pembroke, and I really want to shout him out because, you know, he's getting up there, you know, and these are trying times for everyone. So I think your best bet would to find a video on YouTube, but
Wigwam,
there's some classic live performances they've done that when YouTube became a thing and videos were actually uploaded by everyone, I really wanted to take a look back because my mom and him married when I was around 12. And at that point, it's like the internet's not what it is today. It's like, oh, you were a musician in Europe? That's great. That's really fun. That's kind of a cool story, but nothing was real to me. And then one day, you know, like maybe 6 years ago, I Googled it or I searched on YouTube for him and his band. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And like, you hear the songs, but then seeing them performed was so cool.
Oh, wow. This is, I'm going to do a deep dive on Wigwam today. So how did your mom meet a Finnish prog rock frontman?
My mom went to the Kansas City Art Institute mm-hmm. in, you know, like post, you know, a little bit later in life. She wanted to go back and get her art degree. And I think there was a perfect time to do that. At a certain point in her life, and there was a Finnish design instructor who she and a group of friends, you know, they'd always like do projects together. Then how that works when you're in secondary education, you kind of become pals with the instructors as well. And so groups of people met. And of course, since he's from Finland, he knew my stepdad, who's actually British, but had moved to Finland when he was 18 and started the band. And so it's like all of this, it's very multicultural. And
So your stepdad's actually a British guy.
Yeah.
Does he have a weird British, Finnish, American accent?
Strong on the middle British accent. Uh-huh. You know, not too posh, I can understand. This is getting into dangerous territory. He sounds like he comes from England to me. So how about that?
No, I mean, do you say dangerous in that the British accent? I find in, like in America, we're kind of trained to understand the posh accent the best because it's the most, it's easiest to understand. And then the further you get away from that, like I have dear friends in England where I truly only understand about half of what they say, but the half that I understand, I'm on board with, and I just assume I'd like the rest. And I just kind of nod and smile sometimes when I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I roll with it. I say dangerous because I realized I was going down a path that I don't really know much about. I just know that, much like our country, accents vary from region to region. And luckily, I can understand 98% of what my stepdad says.
That's, and you just hope that 2% is not, deeply disturbing stuff. Oh my gosh, this is really exciting. Wigwam, I'm gonna go full. I'm all in on Wigwam today.
I'll send you some MP3s.
Oh, and then, sweet.
When we finally hang out together, I'll put on some of the 45s for you.
Oh, yeah. See, this is now we're talking, because this is my sweet spot. I love old.
Keep talking. I've got the wireless. I want to show you something on this camera, and apologies, listeners, but while I got you, Dave, you got to see this.
Please. He's going to get something. I'm going to give some real time commentary.
All right, I'm back.
He's back.
So
he's back.
This is a re-release of a box set they put out.
Whoa, that looks great. For the listener, it's four guys with sweet hair.
Yo, it's so sweet.
Silk screen. Yes.
It's everything you've ever wanted. But let me just list off some of these songs real quick. We've got Must Be the Devil and Greasy Kid Stuff. Lulu Sarayas, which I believe is Finnish, and Henry's Highway Code. Freddie, Are You Ready? And Kite. And Tram Driver and Ward Dance.
Oh, wow.
So you get some,
oh my, yeah, the art,
some real psychedelic art on these things.
Oh, the art's choice. I love it.
Yes. So I'll save the rest to show you in person, but I just wanted you to get it's kind of like leading up to Christmas where the presents are wrapped, but you kind of have an idea of what it could be, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Have you been to Finland?
I've never been to Finland, but there was a point in time in middle school where my mom and stepdad moved back to England that he could record a new album, a new Wigwam album, because it was right around the time of, say, Napster and the MP3 revolution, if you will. And so a lot of record labels were like, oh, now's the time to also do like a new album so that we can hype up the old stuff. And so they went out there for about a decade, and it was like 8 years in England and then another 4 years in Finland, now that I say it out loud.
And, oh, wow. So they were away from you that whole time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird to think about now as an adult being like, oh, yeah, there was a strong chunk of time where one of my parents was in Europe. But it offered me the chance to go to Europe multiple times. I never got to go to Finland, but I did get to explore a lot of England. Went to France a couple times.
Nice.
And there was zero opportunity of that happening until I was like the age I am now before that. So
yeah,
I say you take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
And there you have.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Gosh, I think to have been in a Finnish prog rock band, that's the rest of life is gravy. That's just a cool, yeah. That you get a cool stepdad.
Yeah. And surprisingly, maybe not surprisingly, because, you know, they do it a little different over there, but he's very humble, quiet, almost shy,
mm-hmm.
until, you know, you get to know him, and then he'll talk to you about music, television, football, and
meaning soccer.
Yeah. Meaning yeah. soccer. Good. He's a Manchester guy.
Oh, so,
I don't know. But yeah, it's, I would think there would be a little bit more bravado, and I'm kind of happy to know that he's very down to earth.
Yeah. When he could just be like, hey, get out of my way, kid. I'm the front man for Wigwam. Oh man. I'm all in.
Excellent.
I'm seeing their names, Jukka Gustafsson,
mm-hmm.
and the rest I can't even pronounce. That's how awesome this. They're really Finn. I have not been to Finland either.
There was you should. I'll introduce you to the right people.
Yeah. Put in a word. I've been so close, I've been to Norway, Sweden, Denmark, all those. No Finland.
Yeah, it but like
hasn't happened for me yet.
But that's like the birthplace of metal, right? Norway, Sweden.
No, not the wall. No, England. Black Sabbath.
I guess so.
But Finland is the most metal place in the world. There are more heavy metal bands per capita in Finland than anywhere else in the world.
Wow, Dave, I'm really showing my ignorance here. But I am glad to know that. That makes me feel even more excited about Finland.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know.
Dark all the time.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one thing, you know, as much as I love Scandinavia is, yeah, it can be pretty. Though Finland is not part of Scandinavia. Some people don't know that. It's technically not part of it. And a lot of people assume it is. It's not.
It's Lapland, I believe.
Yeah. It's just its own.
The true home of old Saint Nick.
Is it really?
That's what a lot of people say.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah. Well, I have a lot. This is, I might just do a deep dive on Finland.
I would love to hear that bonus episode. I'll tell you that. I subscribe to the Patreon for it.
Maybe I should. This is what I need to pick your brain. This. You know,
bring it on.
I probably, rather than this, you know, podcast that's just kind of sprawling conversation, stream of consciousness, and wherever it goes, and there is an audience for it, but if I just really honed in and just said all Finland all the time, today it's Wigwam, tomorrow it's Marimekko, you know, just all.
Yeah.
Next day it's Lordi. I think they're Finnish. Yeah,
let's go with it.
Yeah.
I think it could be fun. Or at least like this month is Finland month. Next month is grilled cheese month. Who knows?
Yeah. Just really, really hone in and learn.
Yes.
Learn. Something to think about. Then you'd really see the spike in listeners. Like, wow.
I think so.
Something's really happening with this Finnish angle.
I really like that I can see like the gears turning through this Zoom meeting right now, Dave. I know that like there's an ember that is about to start a fire that's going to really explode on this podcast. And I do know that you like explosions. So.
I do, yes. From way back.
Yeah.
Big, long-time explosion fan. Wow. This is... I think this is when I'm just swimming in cash because of my Finland podcast.
What could be called parking the reindeer?
Yeah, I did. Sorry. No,
I don't want to like title your things for you.
No, it's good. It's good to have the. Yeah, you get to. Gosh, no, it's all just coming at me so fast. Children of Bodom, I believe, are from Finland. Just thinking of Finnish things now.
Him?
Are they Finnish? That band?
I believe His Infernal Majesty is Finnish. And then there was an offshoot of that band I always remembered, but I'm forgetting their name right now. They played at the Granada once. I told them, yeah, they. Lots of Finnish stuff happening.
I know. See, this is the thing. Once you pay attention to something, it's everywhere, and you realize it's basically a Finnish world.
It's like buying red shoes, and then everyone's wearing red shoes.
Oh, absolutely. I don't even know why. I'm in a Finnish fishing village right now. Really? In Ohio, this town that I'm in is known for its Finnish population. Like, there's a cemetery down the street, and all the old tombstones are Finnish names.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's a Finnish museum. There's a Finnish store that sells Finnish and, you know, just trying to lure others. There's also Scandinavian goods in there. And they're open now. I have not been in because my will to live is greater than my desire for Finnish tchotchkes.
Which is totally understandable.
Yeah, though it's a fine line. You know, it is neck and neck. But right now, health before... now I can't
health
even
before
think
wealth. Finnish.
Yes. Sure. Rob, thank you so much. Before we go, we need to get some Rob Schulte, or should I say Schulte, plugs in.
Oh, I'm happy to provide those plugs.
Where can people find, aside from the Wigwam box set, where can people find the touch, the Schulte touch?
I'm found on the internet with Rob K. Schulte, but you can actually get the touch on some podcasts I work on. I'm currently producing the third season and hosting with my friend Brittany High from America's Funniest Home Videos, a show called The TV Show Show, where we bring guests on and they get to choose what we watch. We go through it scene by scene. It's usually all 90s shows, 80s shows. And, you know, we laugh, we have a good time, we poke fun, but it's all in good fun. You know, it's like a piece of candy, you know?
It's a celebration.
Yeah. I also, like we said earlier, for the Maximum Fun Network, I produce and edit Friendly Fire and The Greatest Discovery.
Yep.
So
great programs.
I say check those out.
Yeah. And what a great network.
It is.
What a great podcasting network.
We're approaching the Max Fun Drive.
It's coming fast and hard. We're gonna do it.
We will. I'm here for it.
And where on the internet you have your very own website, not to be confused with the insurance salesman from Montana.
That is true. I think the easiest way is just to go to podcaster.nyc.
There we go. Perfect. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Rob Schulte, a.k.a. Schulte, as he is known on the dance floor. It's also not a bad figure skater name now I'm hearing it out loud.
Yeah.
Just something
I'm going
to
need
about.
Fashion advice from you, though, before I start figure skating.
I want to get involved.
Okay.
I'm in.
You'll be my pageant dad.
Berating you underneath the stands. God damn it. Anyway, thank you so much. And thank you, dear listener. Thanks to my partner in crime, Chris Gersbeck. Chris, I hope you're healing up nicely. And gosh, you were gorgeous to begin with. I don't know why you underwent that elective surgery. And thanks to our friends at Maximum Fun. Go to MaximumFun.org for more incredible podcasting action. Support us on Patreon if you can. Patreon.com/ Dave Hill. And I'm going to go listen to Wigwam now.
Me too.
Excellent.
Thanks, Dave.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.